C1S. Number 13A.
I brought up this question because one has to be clear if it is true what some Christian scientists say, that Mrs. Eddy got Christian Science from the Bible. After what we were being considering, she didn't get it from the Bible. She got it from God. But that doesn't mean that she found it in the Bible. That is, that when she took her revelation, and with that consciousness of that revelation, she pondered over the Bible pages, that she could see that it was already there. But only that spiritual sense of hers could perceive that it was already there. If we could get Christian Science from the Bible, then why didn't all those millions of theologians who were for the last 2,000 years devoting their whole life from morning to night to the study and reading of the Bible, why didn't they find it? The text is the same. So, they couldn't find it from the Bible. But Mrs. Eddy found signs from God, and when we have the new spiritual sense of being, we can see through the translated sense which the Bible gives and see the untranslated sense of the Bible, the spiritual sense of the Bible, which she says gives also the spiritual scientific interpretation of the Bible. This becomes very clear the moment we ask ourselves what Mrs. Eddy says about Science and Health, her textbook. And there she is very explicit. She says that when she was writing the textbook, that she could only write it while it was day, while the sun was shining, and the moment the sun got up, she says, then the influx of divine interpretation would pour in upon my spiritual sense, as gloriously as the sunlight on the material senses. It was not myself, but the divine power of truth and love, infinitely above me, which dictated Science and Health with key to the scriptures. Here again she says, it is the power of truth and love, a wonderful combination which we know as science in absolute Christian Science, that it was that power of truth, the complete form of being, that dictated Science and Health. She didn't say that she was transcribing the Bible or interpreting the Bible as the textbook. She says, I would blush to write of Science and Health with key to the scriptures as I have were it of human origin, and were I apart from God, its author. But as I was only a scribe echoing the harmonies of heaven in divine metaphysics, I cannot be super modest in my estimate of the Christian Science textbook. I was a scribe under orders. And who can refrain from transcribing what God indicts, what God dictates? See, here she, when she comes now to the textbook, she's very clear that it is from God, direct from God. And therefore she can speak of Science and Health as hopelessly original. It is not biblical original. It's hopelessly original from God. For her, the Bible was the textbook. For us, Bible and the Christian Science textbook have become textbooks. So we have to see that we take the same attitude as she has taken towards the Bible, that we take the same towards the Bible and the textbook. And therefore, it is clear that she asks us to study, just as she has studied the Bible, to study also the textbook, as if the Bible and the textbook would be to us now the big catalyst that is required for this age. She says that we need science and health as a textbook because it is the voice of truth to this age and is written in the language of this age. So, Mrs. Eddy must have felt definitely that Christian Science and her textbook was an addition to the Bible, and the question for her was how to put it over in her time. And if one looks back to her time and to see how the import of the Bible compared with the textbook was growing, one can see that at the beginning the sermons that were preached were mostly a verse from the Bible and then a liberal interpretation from a Bible text. She adapted more or less the same method as any church would adopt even today, namely to take as the leading motto for a sermon a verse from the Bible. That was in the 80s. Then in the 90s she went a step further, and she would show, or she would suggest that besides reading the Bible text, there should be reading out of the textbook. And so she began to give a balance of both books. And more and more the balance went over to the textbook. When the Bible sermons were instituted later on in the 90s, then the first reader was reading Science and Health, the second reader, the Bible. Little by little, really, people began to be accustomed to the thought that really Science and Health is the voice of truth to this age, and that it was the message that is bigger than the Bible. She tried to show that in Christ and Christmas. You remember in the seventh picture we have that old man with the Bible closed on the table and the young child with the open book, Science and Health, indicating at that time already that the new line is in the Christian Science textbook. In the ninth picture, we have Jesus sitting and the woman standing, the woman holding Christian Science in her hand, as to indicate that the Bible is now yielding to the higher interpretation of Science and Health. And so more and more Science and Health came to the forefront, just as with John Dorley. Did he get the signs of Christian Science from the Bible? No. He got it first from his spiritual sense. There was something in him which said, if there is one being, then this one being must have order, must have laws, must have categories. Who told him that? Neither the Bible said so, neither the Christian Science textbook said so. Who told him that? It is a revelation. It's a new idea breaking in. New idea breaking in that arouses in spiritual consciousness a new vision. And when that new vision arose in him, then he began to study the Christian Science textbook especially. And then that order of the third degree in the translation of mortal mind began to gather meaning, scientific meaning. Well, it was there always, but only when spiritual sense from God, from the divine power, gives us that inward awareness of a new subject, therefore of order and law and science, then one can see it in the textbook again. So that again the textbook acted just as a catalyst, if I may say so. Perhaps I use a wrong symbolism, but it's the way as it appears to me at the moment. And it speeded up, so to say, his conviction that there is a spiritual science of ideas, that there are divine orders of idea in the textbook. Then, when he began to see that in the textbook, that opened up again that this was adumbrated long ago. Is that the right word, adumbrated?
Yeah.
That it was already there before in the Bible. And so could see the scientific order which he had first longed for intangibly in his spiritual consciousness, crystallized in the textbook, then seen to be in the Bible long ago. So the Bible again and the Christian Science textbook verified to him what he had seen. Well, who told him that there are four orders? Who told him that there are three or four levels of science? What these orders were? Revelation. It's the Christ idea, as we have seen yesterday, that speaks through its own interpretation. It's the language of spirit that is always at work. That goes on and on and on. We'll go on and on and on. We'll not stop with the text of the textbook. It will go on and on. And for a long time we may get new vision and may find its confirmation in the textbook and in the Bible. So John Dowley, turning with his whole concept of the system of science, of the pure science of Christian Science, that book which he wrote right after the war, with that concept he turned further back to the Bible and saw that system was already in the Bible. But he didn't get it from the Bible. But we saw it confirmed and sanctioned in the Bible. And that naturally gave us that strength and that certainty and that assurance that we have touched something which is of eternal value, an ever-operative principle. See, that's what then will be the fourth main subject in the sixth chapter, to show that it is an ever-operative divine principle. And then comes up a very tricky question. I hardly have the courage to talk about it. But it seems sometimes to be my lot in this world. Talk about things which are not agreeable. Say, if there would be no Bible, would then be science and health wrong? Today is coming up a generation which doesn't know the Bible. I don't know about you, but I have at the present, I give an introductory class. I have about a dozen teenagers in them. And as long as I talk science as the Christian Science textbook talks science, they come along quite nicely. And then when I think, now I can really show them something very nice, and I can show them that it is already in the Bible, and they shut down. And I say, oh, well, Here he comes, you see. He had enough of that in the church and in religious instruction. Now he comes with that Bible. And the trouble is when I say, you know, already Isaiah said this and this. Then they come up and say, who is Isaiah? Was he a king? Was he a disciple of Jesus? Or was he a prophet? Or who was he? Who was Isaiah? How do you write Isaiah? They just don't know the first thing about the Bible. And they feel, why should we? We are living in this age. The truth of this age is good enough for us, as long as it's truth. Do we have to go back? They say, I mean, we have to read all through that Bible and learn about those funny names and what has happened, if we have the truth today. Well, I don't want to give the answer what the answer is to it, because it's too tricky. And I may not know it. But it's a question which we have to face today. How many people which we want to touch with spiritual science know the Bible? Question, is this a drawback or not? Does it matter or not? Or is the voice of this age enough? The voice, truth, as truth, is it, can be understood today? I leave the question open, but it's a question to think about. I myself love the Bible. That's my safety now against you, not to run down the Bible. But I can say, I love it. But I must say that I didn't know anything about the Bible for quite a long time. I knew quite a good bit about the textbook, and I studied the synonyms and the system as John Dolly presented it, and only about 20 years ago I began to read the Bible intelligently. So I knew science and health, or the science of Christianity, without practically knowing anything about the Bible, because I never went through Sunday school, nor did I have any religious instruction at school. And when I was about that age, well, I don't want to tell you how old I was 20 years ago. I was quite an old boy already. I actually didn't know anything about the Bible. I just didn't know who the prophets were. Did it matter to me? It didn't. Naturally, when John Dolly gave sense to the Bible and showed that the Bible is a science, then it had an attraction to me. Because then one began to feel the feel of this science. And in that way, I love it. But as a generation grows up, which is used much more in thinking in abstract ideas, and for a generation to which abstract ideas are not cold, but warm, are tender, and not cold, then the question may come up, can we do and can go on without the Bible? I think in a big way we can't, because the Bible teaches us the big development of the spiritual idea. In another way, the immediate use and application of practicability of science is stated in Science and Health. So I leave that question open, but I think it's good to think it over afresh. Has the new generation to learn all about the Bible again or not? Or is the preponderance of science and health against the Bible going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger until it is enough to see the new form of science? Let's think about that. Anyway, I, at the moment, would be in a very queer situation if, with my teenagers at home, I would have to say, now look here, that's all right what you were hearing in my introductory talk on science, in which I gave an overall picture of Christian Science, and would say, now we go back for a few years through the Bible. I don't know how I would do it at the moment. I may have to do it, but I don't know. Is truth not always new? Has it not always a new form, a complete form? And if science and health is an addition to the Bible, and which it says contains the whole of the Bible, and is an addition to it, may it be sufficient? Let's think it over. Anyway, when Mrs. Eddy says how she got her revelation, she says it consists of two parts. The first one is a discovery, the second the proof. And in that first point of discovery, she gives two elements which were necessary. And that may perhaps give us an answer. She says, the revelation consists, first, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing. A and B, I would call it, through a spiritual sense of the scriptures. That's how she discovered the science of mind healing. And B, through the teachings of the Comforter, as promised by the Master. See, she gives for her revelation, for the discovery, two main sources, through the spiritual sense of the Scripture and through the teachings of the Comforter, as promised by the Master. What then is for us this Comforter, this divine science as promised by the Master, which speeds up the discovery? It is as she would say that under this Comforter I would understand the Christ idea that is attained to each one of us. The Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, which leads us into all truth. So this Comforter, which was promised by the Master, therefore which was not included in the Bible, is that which enabled her to receive that revelation. To us, therefore, we must see that even if we have a spiritual sense of the Scripture, that this must be complemented by the Comforter, by that inward oneness with the one mind that knows all, that inward conscious communion with the one God, the one mind, that is revealing itself infinitely to each one of us, directly. In another passage he says, I therefore plant myself unreservedly on the teachings of Jesus, of the apostles, of the prophets, and, then she gives another basis, and on the testimony of the science of mind. So to her, she had always, besides the inspiration she got from the Bible, always that Comforter, that signs of mind, which were the source of revelation. And so I feel for us, really, we have to be clear that though we have two textbooks to which we are sticking, which we take as authority, which is divine authority, that we must see that we don't leave out the comforter, the mind, the signs of mind which reveals. Which means that Mrs. Eddy would say that to one born of the flesh, divine signs must be a discovery. Woman must give it birth. That to each one of us it is a new discovery, a new revelation. That we can't just take a text of the Bible or of the textbook as a sufficient guide. It must be complemented by the revelation through the one mind. So, I feel as long as one was doing the lesson sermons, one felt, well, if I do that, I have done what I had to do as a study and as sufficient inspiration. No. If we are not studying the textbook and science, our textbook, with the one mind, therefore first by opening our thought to the fact that we have the mind of Christ, that we are the Christ mind, that therefore the whole revelation is already present, is already here, is already within us, that we are the revelation of being, that we are the infinite illumination of being, that if we don't have that comforter near and dear and awake and conscious within us, then all what goes on, goes into the study, has not the same effect. Therefore, I always feel the moment we open the Bible, the moment we open the textbook, we should open it with clean hands, so to say, treading on holy ground, where I say, I put off first my shoes, I put first off all material conceptions, all preconceived conceptions, so that I open myself unreservedly for the Comforter to teach me all things, to open myself to the one mind, to the one spirit, to the one soul, so that the one principle really can interpret itself as a living principle, as that living principle which knows the truth already, and therefore which is fulfilling its purpose by inspiring us with that which is adapted to the moment. Then I really feel that then I'm in the right spiritual mood. So the whole survey which we have been considering really shows us that our devotion to science must have those two wings. The first wing, revelation, direct contact, conscious communion with the one God. And that only that conscious communion with the one God can see in the pages, either of the Bible or of the textbook, that which is divinely in secret secrecy hidden in the pages.